لك الشريعة هاري هاري
Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, text, chapter 89, text number 21. Shri Shukuvacha, Ekada, Dvaravatyam, Tu, Vipra, Patnyaha, Kumarakaha, Jatamatro, Uvang, Shprishtva, Mamara, Gila, Bharat, Shri Shuku Vacha, Ekada Dvara, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha. Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata. Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, Mamara Kila Bharata. Ladies, Ekada Dvara Vatyantu, Viprapatnya Kumarakaha, Jata Matro Bhuvam Shvishtva, yatamato bhuvam krishva mamara kila bharata shri shuko vacha Viprapatya kumarakaha Jatamatro bhuvam shvishva Mamarakila bharata Shri shuka uvacha Ekadadvara vatyantu Viprapatya kumarakaha Jatamatro bhuvam shrishtva Mamarakila bharata Shishuka uvacha Shukadeva Goswami says Ekada once Varavatyam in Dvarka, two, and Vipra, a Brahmanas, Patnyaha, of the wife, Kumarakaha, the infant son, Jata, born, Matraha, only, Bhuvam, the ground, Shrishtva, touching, Mamara, died. Kila, indeed, Bharat, O descendant of Bharat, Parikshit Maharaj. Translation and little purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, once in Dwarka, a Brahmin's wife gave birth to a son, but the newborn infant died as soon as he touched the ground, O Bharat. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Vishnu has been glorified as the Supreme Godhead. Now Shukadeva Goswami is going to identify Lord Krishna with that same personality of Godhead by describing another pastime of his, one which highlighted his unequaled divine characteristics. Om Janatimrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Wonderful. Pastimes of Krishna in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all very relishable, as we heard yesterday. Extremely relishable, and also mentioned here that they serve as a tonic to purify us of our diseased or illusioned condition of life. To hear these pastimes is very medicinal. It's stated earlier in this canto, actually, very nice verses, many verses out there. I think Parikshit Maharaj, at the beginning of this canto, Nivita Krishna. Nivita Shiro Pagiyamanan Pagoshiti Chotamanobiramat Kabutama Shloka Gunan Puman Mirajeta Vinapu Shuknat. He states that this, one should hear these pastimes. You'd hear the topics concerning Krishna, Kutama Shloka. And hear these topics concerning Krishna and from the right source, from those who are nirvita Krishna, those who have given up the material ambition, those who have no more material goals. Their only goal is to serve Krishna. One should hear from such persons this subject matter of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Katha. And this acts just like the result of this on the mind is that Bhavoshadi Chotamanobiramat. It is Bhavoshadi. It is medicine to the mind. medicine to the mind. Yeah, medicine to the body is clear, but medicine to the mind. And hereby oral reception is topics concerning Krishna, beautiful verses glorifying Krishna. And who will not want to hear this? What person would not want to take advantage of this? There are some who do not pumanavidigatavinapushugnat. Those who are killers of the soul or killers of others, they're not interested in this topic. They're too much absorbed. Matyuna Krishna Paratuk Satova Mitobi Padyeta Vihava Tanamadanda Gobir. What are they? They're too much. We have Rata Adanta Gobir. Some of us here may still be feeling like we're Griha Rata. Some of you are married, I don't know. Anyone married? Any married devotees here? Some have been married, we know what it's like. We've had experiences. So as a devotee, that's different. Grihastha life is. I was just reading and going through the upcoming book on Prabhupada in the UK, and just reading one godbrother. He just got married as a young brahmacharya in 1974, and he was a little embarrassed. He came before Prabhupada dressed in white. He bought a fruit salad in front of Srila Prabhupada to offer it to him. He was the temple kind of vice president. And he was a little embarrassed, and then one of the Prabhupada's servants said, "Prabhupada, he's just gotten married." "Oh," Prabhupada said. And he could see his face began to blush. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, one wife? One wife?" And then Prabhupada said, "That is also brahmachari," Prabhupada said. He said, "One wife also, that means brahmachari." And Prabhupada had great expectations for his disciples. And no matter what ashram we're in, grihastha ashrams. Most devotees, of course, serve in the grihastha ashram. It's not the griha rata in the sense of griham. There are two nomenclatures, Prabhupada says, in the grihastha, married life. Married life, one is grihamedi, one is grihastha. And he hoped that his disciples would be grihasthas. They would be grihastha ashram. It would be an ashram where they would cultivate spiritual life, even living with family. That's the idea. Not that one stays there with the intention of making this your life, your goal, the goal of life. You know, to decorate the dead bodies and to enjoy the grihastha ashram as the goal of life. Certainly there is responsibility there. Certainly there is relationship and so on. But it's primarily an ashram. So Prabhupada said, this is also brahmachari life because they're also self-control in the senses, practicing self-control. Trying to raise try to facilitate our family to our best capacity to become Krishna conscious. There's a grihastha ashram. It's very Prabhupada, even you have one or two children, it is even not practically speaking two or less children sometimes is also considered to be like brahmachari ashram. But it is an ashram, and that's the important thing. Not that this verse which we just described, those persons who have this griha rata or danta gopiya, they're made a vow that their goal is to enjoy family life, danta gopiya, to enjoy their senses to the maximum, economic development and sense gratification. This is the goal of their lives. But for a devotee who's married, that's not the goal of their life. They may do that, of course, it's there, but that's not the goal of their lives. Many things we have to do, but it doesn't mean that's the goal of our lives. Grihastha ashram, there are certain things that have to be done in order to nourish the family, in order to fulfill one's duties as a grihastha. And at the same time, our main goal is still nonetheless to become Krishna conscious. That's the most important thing. So if we are unfortunate sometimes, getting entangled in sense gratification and overwhelmed, bewildered, as we heard yesterday, illusioned by it, this is one of the medicines to cure us of that illusion is that we hear from the right source, Nivritta Trishna, Nivritta Tarshi Bhagiya Manad. We hear from those who are, don't have that. Say that addiction or that ambition in life. The pure devotees who come into this world, we're all like a hospital. You can't expect everyone's going to be fully healthy. Some may be more than others, but there's every risk that we may fall sick as long as we're in this material world also. But these great personalities, they're like transcendental doctors, come into the world and give us this medicine to cure us of that disease, that called Uttama Shloka. Gunanavada, they bring these transcendental topics concerning Krishna from the spiritual realm, and they allow us to have the opportunity to hear them, knowingly or unknowingly, in whatever form, as the holy name or as the process to wake up. And if one's a little bit more, maybe a little bit more matured, then maybe the direct pastimes of Krishna are more accessible. We see even in the beginning of this 10th canto the many pastimes there which describe killing of demons, for instance. The demons represent, not that they don't exist, they do exist, but they also represent various anartas which cover the soul. So it's also very interesting to see that the 10th canto starts off with the killing of a lot of demons on the surface of Vrindavan. So that we've just sung this song just now, Vishaya Chire Kabe Shudahabiman Kabe Hamahe Rabo Shri Vrindavan. That if we want to enter into Vrindavan, this is the goal of the Bhagavatam, goal of the pure devotees, goal of our Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada even said on occasion, is to return, to enter into the transcendental pastime, specifically the Rasa Lila, whatever it is, but at least to enter into Vrindavan. So this is a qualification required, Vishaya Chire Kabe. One has to become free to send desire, the desire for material sense gratification. Otherwise, if one's too attached, Matirna Krishna Paratakshvatova, the inclination to hear about Krishna will not develop. So the practice of brahmachari life, brahmacharini life, grihastha life, this is simultaneously going on, but we're regulating our senses, practicing controlling our senses and so on. And simultaneously we're hearing about Krishna. They go very well together, if directed by the pure devotee. Prabhupada says sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. They don't exactly meet. You get that's a word, an interesting word, dis-ease. Dis-at-ease. You could say they just don't mix properly, at all. So we should bear that in mind, that if we really want to relish these pastimes which the Lord is displaying here, then we have to, by the proper process, Prabhupada said, we have to approach them by the proper process. And that is following the rules and regulations according to our ashram, our varna, whatever it is we have, but following as best we can, sincerely, the rules and regulations which Prabhupada has given us therein. And this will make one eligible. It will track. You described that verse yesterday, Shusha Shosha Dana Shivasa Devikatara Chita. By rendering service to those devotees who are pure, freed of all vice, great service is done. By such service, one develops an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Srila Prabhupada describes in his lecture, I think, on that verse, how that by serving the pure devotees, one develops the quality of those devotees. And the primary quality of the pure devotee, the primary quality is infatuation practically in hearing and chanting about Krishna. He's mad to hear and chant about Krishna. Prabhupada said this is also a quality of a guru, that he's mad for Krishna, mad to hear about Krishna. You don't hear about mundane things. Even if he hears, he relates them to Krishna. He relates everything to Krishna. He's Krishna in everything. So this is the, they give us the means where we may also develop that madness, that urge to hear the messages of Krishna. So these demons in the earlier part of the 10th canto, they represent various anartas. So it's interesting As Krishna kills the demons, sometimes Balaram kills the demons. The demons have to be killed first before we can enter into the next path, next stage. They're killed in all stages, of course, they're being killed, different ones at different levels. But in order for us to actually enter into those real pastimes, the intimate pastimes of Krishna and his friends and associates, the demons have to be killed first. So we're hearing those wonderful pastimes of demons being killed. And this also has a medicinal effect on those particular anartas which they represent. I think it's his representation. This pastime which is going to unfold now, the Brahmins' sons dying at birth. Very interesting pastime. That will be described. This is the introduction. The actual pastime will be coming up. It's a very wonderful, and it gives a lot of instructions also for society. Tomorrow's verse will be described. We're going to leave that for tomorrow because it's very relevant. Describing the duties of leaders in society to protect the citizens. That also applies in a Krishna conscious movement. Why they protect? To facilitate this so that people are inclined to hear and chant about Krishna. Not simply protect. Protection is not just some material thing, but it's actually in such a way that you become inspired to hear and chant about Krishna. It's what the temple's for. Our whole movement is really for this purpose, to awaken this attraction for hearing and chanting the holy names of Krishna, his pastimes, qualities, form, and so on. This is what we're here for. This is the natural inclination of the soul to hear and chant about Krishna. So many wonderful pastimes. And here in the purport is described also how these pastimes explain, they illustrate how this very most basic premise that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the basic premise of Bhagavatam. Eti Changsa Kalapung San, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. This is the basic premise of this whole literature, that of all the various forms of Godhead, Krishna is the Supreme. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he performs wonderful pastimes, which are incomparable. This quality of Krishna is one that even Lord Narayan doesn't possess, that he performs inconceivable pastimes. Even those who do not consider themselves devotees of Krishna, somehow, they still take advantage sometimes of these pastimes for the wrong purpose. They misuse them. But still, what bliss, what nectar is there in talking about impersonal Brahma-jyoti? Tell me. What is blissful about talking about the all-pervasive Brahman? Is it very nectarian? I don't know. I've not heard any nectarian pastimes. There, even of the demigods, there are some things there, but nothing compared with Krishna. Even other forms of Krishna, yes, but nothing compared with Krishna. We got Nrsingadeva. They're all Krishna, just different moods for different purposes. But Krishna himself, it's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, when he planned to have a daily magazine, daily newspaper. So one of his associates said, "How can you do that? A daily newspaper about Krishna? Very easy." How many newspapers are there in Melbourne? I don't know. How many every day? How many come out?
Five or six?
Two or three. Well, there's the national ones too as well. Local, national, regional, I don't know, kinds of different newspapers coming out. And maybe more than five or six if you take all the nationals that are on the market. But whatever it is, they're coming out every day, sometimes two or three editions.
That's right.
Just giving information of this mundane world, which is very insignificant. Very small, tiny little world. News of the day. What's the news of the day today? 8th of the 8th, 2008. What's the news of the day?
Olympics.
Yes?
Olympics.
Arvind?
Yeah.
The Olympics, news of the day, big news. It'll be an ecstasy. People will be relishing total transcendental ecstasy today, hearing this news. They'll take their minds off the other things, I suppose, for a few days. Death, war, depression, economic disaster, rising prices, taxations increasing, murder, rape, this, that, all the sorts of nectarian topics which the papers are full of. Every day they seem to come up with new stories about these things. No end of it. They're caught in the whirlwind, so to speak. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said that if you can do that, there are, and this country is only a small country, but there must be millions, or not millions, maybe hundreds of thousands of newspapers coming out every day all over the world. And people are reading them ardently. They're mad, isn't it? You see them. You can't sometimes get a word in edgeways when they're reading their newspaper. On the trains, I don't know about in Melbourne, but in London, you see them on the underground, all sat there in the morning, all reading their newspapers. Especially if they're businessmen, huh? Financial Times. You don't see them. All you see is the Financial Times there. They're just glued. They're addicted. If only we could be addicted to reading Bhagavatam. Wouldn't that be nice? Intelligently. He says, Prabhupada, we should be like that, suddenly. He said, we should be like how the businessman is addicted to the stock exchange. He's addicted to hearing about the economics. Addicted. And then what problem will be there? What problem will be there? There'll be no problem. But of course, we have, unfortunately, little addictions to a few other things still, which interfere. But the more we hear about Krishna Katha, the more we hear Bhagavatam, Chan Hare Krishna, discuss about Krishna Leela from Krishna book, not that we imitate or jump over. Prabhupada has given us this. And one time Prabhupada said, why has Krishna performed these pastimes? Here we have one reason to show that he is beyond a doubt the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He himself relishes the pastimes, of course. But Prabhupada said, from our point of view, is so that we have something to talk about. Because what are we going to talk about? We could talk about the philosophy, but he wants a bit of fun, a bit of juice, a bit of life. People are attracted to pastimes. They're attracted to stories by nature, because that's what the spiritual world is. There's no philosophers in the spiritual world. People aren't sitting around, gyanis aren't sitting around speculating or trying to work it all out. It's only pastimes there. Eternal pastimes. They're not sitting around reading Bhagavad Gita, chanting their 16 rounds. Gotta get up for Mangalarti, Prabhu. Gotta follow the regulating principles. Now everyone's absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, loving his changes. Prabhupada has given us a glimpse of that in the Krishna book. It's so nectarian. I don't know if we read it much these days. It used to be a daily festival to read the Krishna book. We look forward to it like anything. What will be the next pastime? What next? One night you hear about Krishna killing the Agasura demon. That enormous serpent. And how Krishna played with that serpent at once, and he appeared to be bewildered by his own energies. And all the cowherd boys laughing and singing, walking into the Agasura's stomach through his mouth. And Krishna went in as well. Very great fun. We used to relish it. And then next morning after hearing at night, she'd be in the kitchen helping cut up the vegetables or wash the pots. And the devotee in charge of the kitchen would be saying, Haribol Prabhu, do you know that pastime of Krishna? The story of the Shamantaka jewel, do you know that one? No. Oh, listen to this. All the years we'd be there, we'd be listening to the pastime of Shamantaka jewel. And then during the day we'd be thinking of it, and sometimes you'd be dreaming of it at night. This is life. This is Krishna consciousness. Even in our neophyte stages, we can you can say, it may be a little superimposed, Arupya, but it's nonetheless, this is the process, this is the purpose, this is the goal. It's not just the process, it's the goal. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's not a path to some. Some people use this as a means to an end. Get rid of Krishna once you've used him, kick him out, become him, or get rid of him altogether or something. That's totally the wrong reason. That's totally wrong. But if we relish these paths, because these are eternal pastimes. This is reality. This is the absolute truth. And by the mercy of those pure devotees, we're getting a chance to hear it a little bit. What qualification we have is just their mercy. We're getting this chance. We've got to give this chance to others. Spread this message. Give prasadam and the holy names. Distribute them far and near to every town and village. Gradually people will become attracted to read about Krishna, to hear about Krishna. Their faith in Krishna will gradually develop. We have to do that. The stronger our faith is, the more we'll be able to inject or ignite that faith in others' hearts. The more we taste this sweetness of Krishna consciousness, just like after the killing of the Agastya demon, what happens next? What's the next pastime? Yes, good, you've been reading. You remembered. Brahma Vimohana Leela. And how Lord Brahma was watching this. What's going on here? Who is this cowherd boy think he is? My word. That was one mood. He had another mood too. That was the mood which, as Brahma, that's the mood he had. And for the pastime, to unfold more pastimes, Krishna arranged these things. He bewilders sometimes his devotees, so that pastimes can be revealed, performed and revealed to the people. And this one pastime, Brahma also thought, he was thinking that, you know, Krishna is performing many wonderful pastimes. Let me now do something, Brahma thought. Something very mischievous which will cause Krishna to perform even more incredible pastimes. Pastimes which will convince everyone that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead beyond a doubt. He was also thinking like that. There are different sides to it. We hear predominantly, of course, the one which Prabhupada emphasizes is became overwhelmed with his own power and his own potencies and thought, who is this Krishna? Became proud, forgetting that he received everything from Krishna. So what it means, someone has said, Brahma's an incarnation also. Because Krishna, the potency of being, it's a post. So the potency of the power is from Krishna. It's not like, this is mine. The living entity may take that post and he's empowered. Krishna's potency enters in. And in that way he can act and create, sub-create, and so on. So Brahma got carried away, he thought it was his. Sometimes we get carried away too. And we think, you know, that I'm, you know, doing this and doing that, I'm very qualified and so on. We have zero qualification. Only the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. He's given us some opportunity. The abilities we have are coming from Krishna, and the opportunity to use them in Krishna's service is by the mercy of the spiritual master. With him, nothing. As we discussed that yesterday a little bit, the day before yesterday. What are those qualities that are useless? Even if we've received them from Krishna, but if we don't use them in Krishna's service, yes, di bhakti bhagavata kinchina gunasava tatra samasada sura harab bhaktasya katol maharguna. They're a waste of time unless they're engaged in Krishna's service. Even if they are, their qualities coming from Krishna, misused. So what is the use? Misused. They're meant to be used. They're coming from Krishna. They're meant to be used for Krishna, not abused. Maybe said maybe the other day, I don't know. If we don't use them properly, that is, and we abuse them, then we'll lose them. We'll be down again, animal life or something. So we've got to use these senses, use these, whatever we've been given, under the direction of the spiritual master, in relationship with Krishna. This is the process of becoming free. This is the process of devotional service, is to engage our senses in the service of Krishna. And this is a great way to engage them by hearing the Krishna book, hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the holy name. Hearing is the most important of all of our faculties. Krishna is revealed, realized not through the eyes so much, but through the ears, oral reception. He descends into this world as transcendental sound vibration. So we can hear this transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. We have a potent effect. We just have to be, as Prabhupada says, we have to be the husband and wife. The husband has to be potent, the wife has to be fertile. Then there will be conception in normal conditions. So similarly, if we become fertile, soil fertile, we discussed that yesterday, mode of goodness, how the mode of goodness is a far more fertile soil for the, say, the planting of the bhakti lata bees than the mode of ignorance. It's possible anywhere, but the mode of goodness is much more favourable. So Prabhupada has given us these rules and regulations to follow, so at least, to a large degree at least, if we follow those rules and regulations, it's a much more fertile consciousness, it's much more fertile to receive, to be impregnated with transcendental knowledge. Much more fertile. But if we're not following the rules and regulations, the situation is not very fertile. We have to become a little purified first by hearing a holy name or engage in service, practical service, and taking prasadam and so on, and then gradually we become purified. So we start to actually want, eager to hear. We become eager beavers to hear about Krishna. Eager, lolium, enthusiastic. We want to hear about Krishna. Instead, we're very eager to hear who won the Olympics. How many golds did Australia get today? Isn't it? Everyone will be looking, even devotees sometimes, I'm not saying it will, but I'm sure that there's an inclination to be looking, how many did we win today? We got 6 golds, Jai! What does it mean, you know, really speaking? What do the dogs care about that? Does it mean anything to the dogs? Does it mean anything to the insects? Does it mean anything to people who are just not inclined towards this? Does it mean anything to anyone except for a few Australians who think that they're Australians? Does it mean anything? Does it mean anything to the demigods or the demons? Oh, good, good. Get him ready. He'll be in our team next lifetime. He'll be down here in the hellish planets. Oh, yeah. Yes, very good. He'll be cooking down here. Golden pot, in you go. You don't bring your gold pot with you, though. You don't have a gold medal down there. No. This is an illusion. This is room for certain sports and this and that, but we shouldn't get infatuated and think, ah, we got it. You know, just imagine if you won a gold medal. The ego. It's all ego. So great. Da-da-da-da-da-da, up on the pedestal. The whole world is watching you. There you are, that dream. You've been dreaming of it all your life and you've got it. Yes! And then what next? You would have stepped down from the pedestal. That's it. It's all over. What next? And Krishna's always on top. Always. He never... Well, he serves his devotees. He steps down like that. But he's always on top in reality. So rather than putting our faith in some athlete or swimmer, we should put our faith in Krishna and hear about him. People will be reading all about all these performers, their lifestyles, their diets, their everything. They do, I know they do. But we should have more than that, eager to hear about Krishna. And the challenge. So many wonderful pastimes. Please try to take advantage of this Krishna book. Prabhupada said this book is so wonderful. So wonderful. And he said, not because I've written it, no, because Krishna has written this book. Prabhupada just saw himself as an instrument. He himself relished to read the Krishna book, to hear about Krishna's pastimes. His unequaled divine characteristics. Arvind, do you like reading Krishna book? like hearing about Krishna. Children like hearing it. It's really fun. Children actually like hearing these pastimes. So to a certain extent, we have to become a little childlike. Now, this is a little complicated too. It's philosophical or too much absorbed in doing things sometimes. A little more simple and realize this is really what it's all for. We're doing all these things, everything, so that we can actually develop attraction to hear about Krishna. This is real service. Sometimes devotees are sitting around, "What are you doing, Prabhu?" "I'm reading Krishna book." "Come on, we've got better things to do than this. You're wasting your time. We got to do something." "Well, I thought we were supposed to be here to become Krishna conscious." "Yes, but anyway, there's a time and a place for everything. But there's certainly probably a bit more time than we make for hearing about Krishna. We have to, perhaps sometimes we have to look at our lives and see how much time we're wasting. We do. I remember one time Dhanavir, when he was a young brahmachari, he was telling how it was when he was a young brahmachari. He asked, he was in Los Angeles, 1972 or something. He asked Vishnu Jan, who was the temple commander, if he could have relief from some of his services so he could read more. Mr. Mindu already having a lot of classes in those days, but Vishnu Jan said, "No. If you want to read more, you have to find time. You have to continue with your service." And he was amazed. He found 2 or 3 hours a day without reducing his service to read. He stopped wasting time. You know, anyway, that was his experience. It may be different for all of us, of course. He found time. There's always time to read about Krishna, to hear about Krishna. Even during prasadam, it's no rule one way or the other, but in many temples they read Krishna book during prasadam. It's supposed to be silent during prasadam. Well, that's what silence means. Not talking to the devotee next to you about this and that, calling that silence, or sitting there with your mind wandering all over the universe thinking of everything but Krishna. That's not silence. Silence is to be not taken away by the material, but to be absorbed on Krishna. And that's one thing. Many ways in waiting for the bus instead of just sat there fiddling your thumbs, thinking, you know, cold it is today or something. You have a book and you read about Krishna. Simple. Have someone read to you when you're lying down sick or something. Or hear a tape play, a Prabhupada lecture or something. But constantly trying to hear about Krishna. This is the medicine. This is the cure. And as our disease gets cured, as we get cured of that jaundice disease, then gradually our taste for Krishna Katha will grow more and more. Kinvada Adamudinam. The process is that we should try to regularly, Prabhupada described, Rupa Goswami writes, we should regularly and carefully hear, especially the holy name, regularly and carefully hear it. Hear this sound vibration. And Krishna himself will purify our consciousness just by our desire and our practical manifestation of that desire by doing it. And Krishna will reciprocate by being present and purify our hearts of the other inclinations. We no longer be interested to read about the Olympics or watch the television or whatever other things that capture our attention in this material world. But we'll be mad, we'll become very enthusiastic to hear about Krishna. Okay, we will finish there on that pastime. And tomorrow, at last morning, I think tomorrow, we're still here. And tomorrow, we'll hear about something very interesting topic tomorrow. Any questions? Comments? It would be nice to see devotees go walking around a bit more with a Bhagavad Gita in their bag or a Krishna book in their hands, you know. It would be nice. Yes, Prabhu.
My much, sometimes we feel very angry at someone. And then we feel pity, you know, that I'm going to disturb him somewhere, I'm going to
get my own back,
give him some trouble, yeah. Or things, in every possible way I can. So, like, how we should control that tendency?
Well, there's two things here. One is a spontaneous reaction, which may be a little bit difficult to control because of conditioning. In other words, somebody punches you, your spontaneous reaction is to punch them back or something. That may be a little difficult immediately to deal with. There are ways, but then there's the kind of the ongoing underlying calls behind that attitude. That's just as the third one. Second one would be like an ongoing thing, which is perhaps what we're referring to. You know, we don't immediately respond, but you're thinking how I can get my own back on them, or you know, how I can bring them down, or whatever it may be, on a kind of a more long-term basis. And then beyond that, there's the actual cause behind it all, not just diverting it or just putting a plug in it, counting to five or something before you smack him on the face, or whatever it is you do to try to hold back that anger that tends to swell up when somebody offends us or something, or some kind of like adjustment. But the real adjustments are there with knowledge. We start to understand things with knowledge. And purification, of course, of consciousness. One wouldn't feel anger towards anybody. And just look at knowledge, for instance. Look at the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a good one to read, the story of the Avanti Brahmin. It's a good one. How the Avanti Brahmin was also a person who wasn't noted for his good qualities. He was very irritated and got angry with people releasing. But some or other, he became Krishna conscious. And he describes there how people were always giving him trouble. They would urinate on his food and on him even, steal his things, call him ill names, beat him. They'd do all sorts of things to him. But he was not disturbed because he was self-realized. He was taking shelter of Krishna. Take shelter. This is the high one. This is the root. He was taking shelter of Krishna, and he was also analyzing to whom should one become angry. And he went through the whole thing. Why are you becoming angry with the body, or are you becoming angry with the, you know, what is the cause of one's, what is the to whom should one be angry? He analyzed. There's actually nobody. is the cause for our suffering. Nobody other than ourself. Nobody. Prabhupada describes that when somebody criticizes us or becomes angry with us, the devotee thinks in Queen Kunti how a devotee should react. That actually one should understand that nothing happens but by the will of Krishna. That this person is acting under the control of Krishna also. And they are actually an instrument. They are an instrument to point out to me my faults. They're acting as my friend. They don't know it, but actually they are. They think they're an enemy. But actually, they're being, like we can see it like that, that Krishna is, through this person who's assaulting me or something, is pointing out my own faults, whatever form they may be in. Tatenu kampam susamikshama bunjana eva magidhavi pakam vidvago babiri vishitam namaste yivete yomukti vides the day of back. Just by remembering these verses sometimes, or these statements, helps us so much to not unnecessarily react. Sometimes you have to take action because there are social and religious considerations, etc. But from one's own point of view, one can learn to become undisturbed, understanding there's a higher point behind it all. It's not us and them. Now, what is really at stake here? The Avanti Brahmin describes that what is really at stake is the false ego. There's nothing else, it's only the false ego which causes this to trigger off. So what is that false ego of seeing oneself in the center? Seeing oneself as the enjoyer, as the controller, and so on. But Krishna is the enjoyer. Bhaktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwam. You want peace? That's the formula. We have to realize this, that Krishna is the actual controller, not that person, not you. So we have to take shelter of Krishna. See it. What I try to do sometimes is I see it as an opportunity. Difficult it may be, but as an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. This person is giving me an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. What is Krishna trying to teach me now? What can I learn out of this? If it's not, you know, a pure Krishna conscious sort of surrender mood, at least we can think like that. What is Krishna trying to teach me now? How would Krishna want me to act now? How would my spiritual master want me to act now? Practical thing is to think like that too, kind of semi-subtle and gross, is to think my spiritual master is right next to me now, how would he want me to act? Would he be pleased with my reaction? Would he be pleased that I'm trying to, you know, Prabhupada said, we're a dosha-darshi, we don't find any fault in anyone, but this person needs to get my mercy. I'll teach him a lesson. You know, sometimes we go a bit overboard. But to always think, what would our spiritual master want? You know, how would he want me to behave on his behalf? Because there are some circumstances where you're meant to become angry. So you have to know when is what, and learn to how to discriminate, etc. Devotee is not controlled by anger, he uses anger. But that's the difference. Sometimes when we imitate the advanced devotees, we get controlled by anger instead of using it for the productive purpose. So sometimes it's best just to be quiet. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj is a very nice one, I like that one. He describes it. Well, one time he was asked this question by some of his disciples, is it true, Maharaj, that we should be angry, for instance, to those who are critical or blasphemous towards Krishna conscious? We use our anger. And said, yes, it is true. Those who are against Krishna, we should use anger against them. But, first of all, you should understand who is the enemy of Krishna. And when I look at myself, I find no greater enemy of Krishna than me. So to whom should I be angry? We're very eager to be angry towards others, but defending ourselves, our anger is more defense rather than protection. Yes, ma'am.
On that point, Maharaj, somebody said, if somebody hits you on one side of the cheek, you in the other.
That's Jesus Christ said that. That's in the Bible. Yeah, you've got to discriminate. You've got common sense, you've got to discriminate intelligently, but in principle, that's how the individual feels. He does not take offense on his own account. He has nothing to lose. If we think we've got something to lose, our reputation, our body, our this or that, therefore we get angry, because we're still attached to that which is not ours. When we're attached to Krishna, when we get angry for Krishna, if that's what he wants, but not for ourselves. Yes, Daniel.
Thank you for a beautiful conversation. My question is, what does your name mean?
Pardon?
Your name, what does it mean? I know the second part.
That's a very difficult question.
I know the second part means blissful, but the first part I do not know.
Very interesting question. We'll try to put it in relationship to today's topics. When Prabhupada, when I went to Srila Prabhupada's room to receive this name, and one of the occasions we were fortunate to be alone with Srila Prabhupada, he gave me the name on a piece of paper. And something happened this morning about that. But anyway, he gave me this piece of paper with the name written on it, and he told me what it meant personally. So. And he said it means one who gives bliss, one who gives ananda or bliss to the jhanas. Any jhanas here? Any jhanas? Who are the jhanas? People. People in general. His name of Krishna is very rarely mentioned. But his name of Krishna, Jnananda, is two words, Jnananda, Jnananda Das, servant of Krishna, who gives bliss or pleasure to the people. Now, it's a very nice thing one time came through the mail from Bhakti Prakash Maharaj, who's been doing 25 years, I think, now of research on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, teachings and mission and so on. And one of them, you just have to send this to me one time, because the name Jnananda is not very common. You won't find it. It's mentioned only once or twice in the folio, other than the fact that your name is there, but I mean, in terms of Shastra, you rarely find it. It's mentioned in one song about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But it was actually Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had one disciple of the name. It's slightly different. Bhagavat Jnananda, his name was. Young boy. And I know I just tell this story for the sake of it. It's just a nice story. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was preaching one time in this village somewhere in Bengal, and there was a large crowd that listened to him daily. He was lecturing on a verse. I think it was the verse Namo Brahma. No, what's that verse? What do we chant before prasadam? Mahaprasadi Govindina. I believe it was that verse actually. Okay, it was a long time ago Maharaj wrote this to me, but I think it was that verse. He was lecturing on it. And many people gathered around, including this young boy, very young boy, teenage boy, 14, 15, 16 or something, year old kid, was sat there glued day in, day out to the Maharaj. He spent several days in this area, and every day the boy was right there listening, full on, every word. He was like glued attention. So after a while, the boy fell at the Maharaj's feet and begged to become his disciple. He accepted him as his disciple. The boy then joined the Mutt, Gaudiya Mutt, and he became one of the editors, and he was being trained to become an editor and printing, and in the printing press he was being trained. He was only there about 6 months, maybe that, not even that. And then it became time for Navadvip Parikrama. This is the February, March. The devotees go on Parikrama and Navadvip just before Gopurnima. So the boy wanted to go on Gopurnima. He said, he begged the members of his mat if he could go on the Navadvip Parikrama, he said, because I don't think I'll get the chance again. So he was thinking, he's a 15-year-old kid or something, what do you mean? You're going to get the chance again? He said, no, I must go. So the boy went on the Parikrama, and then he died. He died, he left his body. And they took him back to the village. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj found out, and he went to the village to see for the last rites or whatever it was in the village. And when he went back to the village, he started giving some talk or something. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj started to cry, and he said, "I did not realize it." He said, "This boy is my spiritual master. Come back again." That's what he said. That's recorded there somewhere in my Bhakti. Avakash Maharaj has a recording of it. But he said, "My own spiritual master came back in this form of this boy." So we never know who's who in our Krishna movement. We don't know. We take it for granted sometimes. We do not know. And we judge things very quickly and very externally sometimes. We miss Krishna guiding us, guiding others to help us to also realize his presence. We miss that. We miss it coming through devotees, or to speak of the non-devotees, we miss it coming through the devotees even sometimes, who are trying to help us to, they may not even be aware of it also, of course, how the spiritual master teaches us through others, and he teaches us through different situations we find ourselves in. And Krishna's teaching us in this way to realize, you know, how small we are and how dependent we have to be. Helpless instruments. this wonderful opportunity, and the main part of the name is Das, servant. Always servant of the servant, 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 servant. This is our real business. And whether or not we don't really go further, but it's an impetus sometimes. Just like, for instance, when Prabhupada gave sannyas to Vishnujana Swami, he said, no, sannyas means, sannyasi means for you as Vishnu, but especially, he said, means you have to dance and chant and inspire others to dance and chant. This is sannyas, Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada would, they're very personal things, and nothing happens by chance. So we feel this is our duty, is to try to assist Srila Prabhupada in playing our little parts, whatever they may be, to awaken that happiness in other people's hearts from hearing and chanting about Krishna, and dancing and chanting, to some degree at least. We can only but try to follow them in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord who showed us, showing us how to do it. Hare Krishna. Well, the second part of the name is Goswami, so I guess I better go. Okay, Swami, go. We've been here long enough. Get out of here. It's also good. Sometimes that happens, you get told, tear off. You think, I'm a Swami, oh, you taunted me like that. It's a very humbling thing, because in the material world people don't care a damn if you're a Swami or you're a Dhami or whatever you may call yourself. It doesn't mean anything. They just treat you like, probably even worse if you call yourself a Swami, they'll probably give you a harder time than normal. So whatever it is, we've got to become humble. Not get proud of it. Whatever title we have, we should take advantage of it for some egotistical reason. We should be very humble and thankful for the opportunity to render that service when being bestowed with the responsibility to be a representative of Srila Prabhupada. So you should always remember that we're a representative of Prabhupada, and we should behave in a way which will be a credit to Prabhupada. Because if you misbehave, maybe perhaps becoming angry on the street, that is, Prabhupada said, that's basically speaking, it's like a reflection of say, it's against him. You know, sometimes we get upset, we get angry, we do something. It's actually a discredit to Srila Prabhupada. You should become a gentleman. Somebody proper would be happy to say is my disciple. What did he say?
He said it's
9
o'clock.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm getting hungry. Will you please shut up? I'm getting hungry. And if you don't shut up, I might get angry. Because I'm hungry. An hungry man is an angry man. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All praying.